Nova Scotia's premier has new roles for MLAs following a cabinet shuffle that took place today. Tim Houston has removed himself as energy minister and given the role to Pictou West MLA Marco McLeod, while Cumberland South MLA Tori Rushton returns as Minister of Natural Resources, taking over for Queens MLA Kim Masland. Lunenburg MLA Susan Corkum-Greek takes over social development from Eastern Passage MLA Barbara Adams. And Waverly Fall River Beaver Bank MLA Brian Wong takes over advanced education from Halifax Atlantic MLA Brendan McGuire, who remains Minister of Education. A swearing-in ceremony was held today at Province House in Halifax for the new ministers. Now a Cape Breton University political science professor is sharing his thoughts and feelings on the cabinet shuffle. I spoke with Dr. Tom Urbaniak to get a sense of what the cabinet shuffle could mean for Nova Scotians.
A couple of the ministers are returning to former portfolios, which I think is part of the story. Marco McLeod's appointment is part of a headline as well. He's turned to Marco McLeod in part because he trusts Marco McLeod. They are constituency neighbors. And also because Marco McLeod has shown himself to be an effective communicator, someone who is personable, can speak well with leaders of organizations. So that his work will be something to watch in the coming months. More generally, the cabinet shuffle does signal to me that Tim Houston is worried about the PC's standing. They are still leading in the polls, but they have declined. The NDP has improved. The Liberals will soon have a permanent leader. It might be Becky Drouin. And so the political landscape has become very competitive. At the same time, there isn't a high level of morale, from what I can perceive, in the PC caucus. And so the premier needs to keep the PC caucus happy, cheerleading, enthusiastic, loyal. So we're seeing a couple of ministers who had been previously dropped being brought into the cabinet, which is certainly one way to ensure loyalty. We're seeing the expansion of the cabinet and, by extension, the opportunity to give ministerial assistant roles to someone new in order to keep the loyalty of the caucus, the large caucus, relatively speaking, through appointments or the possibility of appointments to special positions. So this feels very much like a cabinet shuffle of a premier who's in the middle of a mandate, who doesn't feel like he really has a lot of wind in his sails at the moment.
Yeah, well, that was really good. That kind of summed everything up. But I also wanted to ask if anything else stood out to you about this shuffle. One thing that kind of stood out to me was Susan Corkum-Greek taking over for Barbara Adams, because, you know, she's the seniors minister, and we've seen a lot of, you know, a lot going on recently with QP. So I was thinking, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that, is do you think that might have something to do with it, maybe freeing it up so she can focus more on seniors and long-term care?
This is a dominant issue right now, the QP labor dispute. Barbara Adams' entire focus will have to be there in the coming weeks. So this does lighten the load for Barbara Adams a little. And it allows also the premier to bring back into the cabinet a former minister who, you know, might not have been feeling so well as sitting outside the cabinet after having been inside. And so this is in part a loyalty, an internal loyalty operation. It's in part lightening the load for some ministers, including the premier himself, who maybe realizes that it's not easy to be both the premier and the energy minister at the same time, especially if energy is a priority file, and also acknowledging the loads of some of the other ministers trying to shift the work around or disperse the work a little more.
Okay. And you touched on it quite a bit with, you know, talking about how it seems kind of like a move from Houston. But I guess if there's anything else you thought about why this is coming now, like why is now the time that we're getting this announcement?
Part of the calculation actually is to, I think, disperse the load. I don't think it's so much of an operation to try to signal to the public that, that there are all kinds of fresh faces and new talent being brought into the mix, and that the government is somehow opening up a new narrative. That's not what's happening here. This does seem to be a functional operation in terms of workloads, and it also seems to be a loyalty assurance operation to make sure that there aren't too many members of the PC caucus who are persisting in their potentially low morale right now.
Okay.
I mean, the last session of the legislature was not great for morale of MLAs, including MLAs in the governing party. These very, very long sittings, these omnibus bills, members of the PC caucus almost never intervened with a speech on a bill. And so I think a lot of PC MLAs were feeling like their talents were not being used adequately by the government. I just wanted to say something, sure. This may be a footnote, about form, because as a political scientist, I do look at the form in the way government officially communicates and what that signals about how a premier looks at the role of a premier. And so I'm still seeing in the PC communiques around cabinet changes and cabinet shuffles, this official reference to the cabinet as his cabinet, as in the premier's cabinet. And I know that's the way we speak in common language and even in journalistic parlance. But in an official government communique, that's not cool because it's not the premier's cabinet. These are ministers of the crown, even though they are named or they are recommended by the premier. And around the sort of access to these ceremonies and access to ministers, I still have concerns there because the formal swearing in, you know, by the lieutenant governor, this is part of our constitution, and that has to be respected to the extent possible. Even in the communique, they quote from the premier where he refers to the new minister of energy by his first name. It almost, what I saw, like, the reference to Marco, I almost thought it was Donald Trump referring to Marco Rubio because he always calls Marco Rubio by his first name, almost as a way of asserting his own dominance over the cabinet, because he would never expect to be called by his first name by colleagues in the cabinet. And I'm seeing a little bit of the same thing in terms of form. I'm not drawing huge parallels in other ways, but I'm seeing some concerns around constitutional form, and I just wanted to signal that as a little bit of a footnote.
No, that's interesting, and it certainly, you know, speaks to kind of where the premier's mind is right now and kind of what he's thinking going into this cabinet shuffle.
Potentially, yes. Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to mention about the shuffle, any of the other positions, or anything at all?
No, I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Tom. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat about this cabinet shuffle. It's pretty interesting stuff. And thanks so much for chatting with me.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jacob.
For Coast 89.7 News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Jacob Postlewaite.